Welcome to episode 78 of Crippled System, the Dudecast edition.
That is true. It is a sausage party.
It's a sausage party in this room
not
today.
The kind of fun kind of the actual, you know, no. Sausage.
Yeah, no, it's hey.
I have entered many a Craigslist ad expecting one. Craigslist. Craigslist is the bad version.
That's where you go for sausage.
Mm. I'm Brian, and I play Circle.
Jerk.
Oh. I don't get it. Please explain.
Well, we're around a table right now. Yeah. We can demonstrate in our Dude Fest edition.
Does anybody have a cracker?
Anti-Withershins, go.
I'm Nathan, and I play Convergence of Pigs.
Wow. Can we get, like, any more?
Woo! I love playing Convergence of Serious Bitches!
That's better.
Jesus.
Alrighty then. I'm Rick, and I am punishing myself with minions this summer.
Ooh. I'm Lewis, and I play Signar and Legion.
And I am Troll Jeff, and I play trolls.
His parents were very cognizant of his future.
It's odd, you know.
We will name him Troll Jeff.
I think it's because of the looks.
And that was his dad.
And that strange falsetto, too. Yeah. It's really weird.
He was a French nobleman.
I've got some pictures of him in a powdered wig at home, too.
Yeah. And a big ruffled collar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's an important part. You can't
that
be.
Blasted Scarlet Pimpernel is at it again!
Looks much like your Zombicide character from last night.
Yes.
Yes. I'm Andy, Major Tusk on the forums. I play Cephalix and Retribution.
I thought it was Celefix.
It's Celefix. Yeah, right. I'm getting Nathan's getting old with that joke. He says it doesn't affect him anymore, so I can't say it anymore.
Well, the glare I got, I don't know.
I was hoping that it would get to a point where it would not die off. You know, where you need to tell a bad joke for so long that people start to hate it, and then eventually they'll get around to it's funny again, mm-hmm. and then get to hate. I was hoping that Nate would just get back to hate.
You could have stuck with it. You know, you could have. At a certain point, I would have been so annoyed at the fact that you were doing something that wasn't annoying that it would have been annoying again.
And we actually have all the Pressgangers in the Madison in the same room.
Yep.
So pretty crazy.
Write down our names, and then we could all be fired.
You figure out which four of us are Pressgangers. I'm not a Pressganger.
You're still a Pressganger.
I guess.
You're a judge.
I don't know what I am.
Slash Pressganger.
I keep
Slash Inferno? Oh.
I'm no Travis.
You're welcome, Travis. He's like, he mentioned my name. I get a text from Travis every time I mention his name. He's like, I got a name.
Travis alternates between rubbing into me the fact that he's an Inferno and I'm not, or bemoaning to me the fact that he hates being an Inferno because it's so much responsibility. Like, he can't pick which of those two vectors to stick with. Yeah.
I would choose the. Never mind.
Cool story, bro.
My mind would blank out of all the convergence vectors I could have chosen.
I can set you up again. Are you ready? All right. Let me know when you're
which
ready.
One is? I choose the galvanizer.
Okay, all right. I'm ready to go here. Travis can't decide which vector to go with.
I think you should go with the galvanizer.
Ba-dum-ching.
Yeah!
Great job, guys.
Woohoo!
Podcast done.
We're successful.
Way to diffuser that joke.
Oh! Oh! New challenger appears.
Wow.
Took it down.
I'm trying to figure out the humor involved in that, but it's too deep of a cipher.
Oh! Oh! You who conked me.
Monitor his activity.
Oh, I got a great pun as a corollary.
No. No. Oh. No, that joke is upside down. You need to inverter it on its axis.
Oh, two for one.
Two for one, bitches.
Ouch.
Syntherion.
Numbers.
Ah, good times.
All right, that one got into the ground in a bad, not a fun way.
Modulator.
It's funny again. Example.
It's like cell effects.
All right. So, another news. This is the first time in 6 weeks. I haven't had to go to a tournament. It's week 7. I rested.
Yeah, that's how that works.
It all starts back up again next week.
Yeah, we rested by having a 12-hour board game day.
Which is the best way to rest.
True.
Well, to be fair, an hour and a half was waiting for Keith. And then it was like a day of board gaming.
Oh, my God. Game starts at 10:30 and then flash forward to noon o'clock.
Yeah, I showed up late. No, I thought game started at 10, and I showed up at 11, knowing I was going to be late because I was going to be working on other things. I just wanted to hang out, and yeah, it didn't.
Was this in town?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you got Keith and Marshall to come up?
Yep. Well, they were coming to town, and then because they're coming to town, I invited a couple people
over. We didn't invite you.
Well, I already had 10 or 11. I had like 8 or 9. I'm like, I can't invite more to the house, so... I got a few minutes. Yeah. What was I invited? Because my house was full.
I was going to say, when I saw the pictures, I'm like, man, are they at Peg or Misty? Where the hell are they? That's a lot of people.
Yeah, no, if I go to games, when I have a game, I always put it on Facebook. This was kind of a spontaneous Thursday night, they're coming over.
Yeah, they didn't tell us that they were coming over until late.
Keith wanted to visit his family, and then he stopped by us on Saturday for the day. Played some board games. We played a lot of board games. We played a lot of Zombicide. We threw a game of Survive. There was a game of Amon-Ray. There was some dungeon quest shenanigans going on with the group.
You got to tell me when Marshall's in town because I got to load him up with models for him to paint.
He was surprised people didn't have models for him.
Well, I have plenty.
We're going to pass around.
my three striker.
Oh.
Three strikers, you're out.
I think you broke Lewis.
So, all right,
we have announcements-ish.
Yeah. Well, next, the 19th is a Des Moines event, which is technically full, but there's still a wait list for the next War Machine Weekend qualifier. August 2nd is the next Madison event. It is the Iron Gauntlet rounds of a format. So bring 350-point lists, mash them together, your three rounds, and do different 75-point lists, and see if you like that format.
Depending on how August 1st goes, I might not come to the August 2nd event because I might need to watch Guardians of the Galaxy several more times.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to come to this, you better expect constant spoilers from that movie because we're all seeing it on the 1st. I mean, that's just a guaranteed thing. Yeah. One of my friends
on the 1st?
It's on the 1st.
I for some odd reason, I kept on thinking the entire time, it's like, oh, God, I'm going to have to make some kind of time to go see it at Gen Con.
Oh, well, the funny thing is someone asked...
But now I have to.
Someone asked me, hey, you want to see it at Gen Con? You want to hold off and wait? Wait. There's no possible way I can go a day without seeing that movie. A, because it would drive me insane. Plus B, everyone's going to be talking about it the next day.
Yeah. Right?
Like, okay. It's literally impossible to not see it opening day.
Well, people have been waiting years for this because everyone in America is such huge Guardians of the Galaxy fans.
They're like, oh, man, I wanted to see that raccoon for years. I hope that tree says, I am Groot.
Oh. That is the best thing about that movie is that nobody gives a shit about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Until the first trailer showed up and exactly. Like, everybody's like, holy shit, I need to see this.
Well, they're excited about an awesome movie, not the Guardians of the Galaxy.
No. Yeah. No.
I have some friends at work who have kids, and some of them are old. Some of the kids are like, you know, teenagers, and a lot of the parents are all ecstatic to go see it, but I have at least three parents like, yeah, my kids don't think it looks very good. They don't get it.
You've raised your children wrong.
Well, but their kids go, they would do everything else. It's just weird that it's just like a weird thing I've seen from those young kids today.
Well, because none of the characters have any face value. You know, if you were to go up to a random person on the street, you're excited to see Rocket Raccoon, they're going to go, who?
Is that the Beatles song?
Right. Jeremy's like, oh, yeah, submarine, it's funny. And I'm sorry, I was taking, whenever you said Beatles, Jeremy has to bring up the submarine.
Yeah, because he's an idiot.
It's true, but him and Katie are at the zoo. So they couldn't be here.
And Art Fair.
No, it's an Art Fair. It's actually the animals put on some artwork.
That's elephant paintings and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. The sea lion does really awesome.
The monkeys do sculptures.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Out of potato.
People travel a long way to Wisconsin to watch the Art Fair at the zoo.
Why?
I don't know. It's what they said to do.
It's just yet another reason Wisconsin's better than Illinois.
Touche.
anyone
on that. Yeah. No one's here to argue. Oh. So you're right. Win.
If we were broadcasting live, Katie would be yelling at her.
Oh wait, Katie just showed up. Katie, what do you think? I think Illinois sucks. Shut up, Jeff's dad. I'm talking to Katie. I had so much heroin today. I'm in a good mood.
Your voice your voice acting is amazing. You can do so many people.
I'm the new that guy, Billy West. I'm the new Billy West.
You're the new that one guy.
I couldn't remember Billy West's name for a second, so I had to be like, I'm that new guy who does all the Futurama voices. But then I remembered. True story.
That was an amazing. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Technically, yes.
Technically,
it did have all three of them.
I'm not sure if it ended yet.
They weren't in that order.
I was really excited about the ending, too.
Yeah. It was a Tarantino story. End first, maybe some middle at the start of the movie. Yeah. We'll wrap it up however we feel. Just, yeah.
So do we have topics today? Because people probably...
Oh, we did have a contest topic that we're not going to talk about today.
Because we don't have the most of the cast.
Because we're missing half the... Normally half the cast.
Well, I can do my misadventures with Circle, because there was no tournament recap, so it's briefer.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. All right, so I'm 1 week off from the Des Moines event. I've now... Last game, I did manage to get 5 games in with Circle. And I got our local player, Dan, to come over to my house last week. And I'm like, let's throw some Circle against Crix. And that's terrifying, because Crix can do terrifying things. And he brought out Gatsby because I wanted to play Gatsby 2 and all this other nonsense. So, when you play Circle against like Swarms of Infantry, it's pretty scary. But although Rotterhorns are amazing still, that Screech is the greatest thing in the world. This is 2 inches of just death you create.
Oh, yes. The auto hit on POW
10.
POW 10s?
Yeah. And I think it's boostable too, isn't it?
It's 8. It's power 8. It is boostable.
Okay. But you shouldn't need to.
Yeah.
Generally, that's going to kill troops pretty easily.
The only time you really boost it is if there's a... You're basically shoving your Rotterhorn at a spot because you want to possibly clear up some kind of lane, or you want to clear up a spot with a teleport or something too. So you only boost it on like one target that might be in some range of something.
Yeah. Or if there's, you know, like a multi-wound UA or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That group. Yeah.
But otherwise, you just go forward, Screech, and whatever. You don't care. But he took on one of the games was against Gatsby or Gorshade 3, who's terrifying to fight against because he just has all that shenanigans. But I played I did Kruger 2, and even that stupid Stormwall spell just fucks everyone over so well. It's an amazing spell. Circle is broken in so many weird ways. Like every faction I play is broken in some different way. And just experiencing Circle's abilities and
you should try playing Legion once.
It's a whole you just skip.
It's just Crix with the Fury mechanic.
Yeah. It's more focused on the beast. You don't.
Mean as far as cheating.
Yeah, it's pretty much they do break as many rules. But so I played a bunch of games against Crix. Marshall came into town, so we actually recorded a game, which will be out probably later this week or next week or
Wednesday, possibly earlier. There's like 2 Daikon videos in the can. There is the fabled movie Pain Train Part 3.
So we're gonna be spamming the internet with videos this week.
Yeah,
take that internet.
I want to say we'll put up at least a video a day next week.
Exciting. And Nathan got to watch me play Circle because he did the audio. He got to see how fast and quick I am.
That game is a blur of excitement.
Except for the possible opposite for the first few turns. It's like, I just stare at the board. My death clock goes so fast. It's like, I'm just staring at the board going, okay, I know this works, but how do I do it again?
Oh,
for like 20 minutes of every game. Like, I can figure Circle out an infinite time, but man, I'm going to get so screwed when I have to play 15-minute death
clocks. I've never seen someone almost clock themselves on turn 2. Nor have I seen someone almost clock themselves and kill a total of like 3 models.
Yeah, it worked out, but it's a lot of maneuvering. A lot of thinking. It's a thinking man's faction. That's Circle. But yeah, so my Circle update. I've played about 20 games, and next week will be the real test to see how bad I get slaughtered. Probably lose round 1 and drop. Like, take that, Des Moines.
Yeah. Drive home and go to Jeff's birthday party.
Woo! Wait, hoo-hot. Hold on, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. They have it in hoo-hot. I know you like hoo-hot.
I do like hoo-hot.
Except they got rid of your favorite sauce.
They got rid of my favorite sauce, but I found something else that's almost equivalent. I have to mix like 2 different sauces together to get that. They got rid of the mean bean garlic sauce.
As long as they keep the burn your mouth barbecue, I'm happy.
They have that, the burn your village barbecue?
Burn your village, yeah.
I do like that, but the mean bean garlic sauce is awesome. But they have like a garlic sauce for something else, and I can mix it with something
does
else.
Does the hoo-ha, do they have special parties? Does everybody wear like con hats or things or what?
I seriously doubt it. This would be my second time going there. Really liked my first visit.
He just didn't say, this is going to be a party. I need you guys to go your full birthday outfit. Suits, crazy. Not birthday suits.
Well, I'm expecting you to bring lots of strippers for me. That's expected.
Do they check if the birthday boy is taller than an axe, and if he is, they kill him?
I'm going to walk my knees into the store. Okay. So
they have a great kids club.
They do have an obnoxious kids club.
What's so fantastic about the kids club?
Khan's
kids.
It's just a very weird.
Genghis Khan's kids.
It's a very odd up.
Yeah.
In a couple hundred years, somebody will have the Hitler Youth.
Nothing is as great as being able to describe something as a horde. Nobody wants a restaurant filled with a horde of kids.
Yeah. You know what we should do, since Rick here is the inventor of PG Swiss, he should talk why it's so cool. No pressure, Rich.
No pressure.
Go. Everybody stare at Chris. Rich.
Rich. Rich. I actually call him Rich on accident. Rich. I let it go, and then you did the same thing.
So
I need more heroin. I got to top up.
So basically, we all use Do You for running tournaments.
Do You? Oh, I do. Do You? I believe it's Do You.
Do You?
Yeah.
Do You.
Kador, Kador, what's the difference?
One's correct.
Kador is correct.
That's the main difference is that one's correct.
Yeah.
There's some weird podcasts saying Kador.
Nigel still says Kador. He refused to change it, even though there's pronunciation guides in the goddamn books now. Like, it's Signor, Crix, and Kador. You know, it's correct. If you don't say it that way, you're
Psychnar.
Wrong. Psychnar. Crikes?
I was going to go
hear Crikes.
The Cracker of Meanoth.
Yeah, Meanoth. Oh, the Harbinger of Meanoth.
Yes.
My Kraken's going to go get him.
Oh, God. The Witch Coven and their Kraken is coming after you.
Hey.
It's Coven, because Coven rhymes with oven, and that can't be right.
That just sounds stupid. So anyway, Do You?
It's Smaug.
Smaug.
Saruman. Go on.
I'm so lost. But anyways, it's got some issues, and it was written in like Java or something, so it's a pain in the ass to deal with. So
it's been around for years, though. People are just...
Oh, wait, yeah. No, go on. Sorry. I forgot that you were starting with DoYu. I thought you were talking about your own program for a second, and I thought you were leading off with the fact that it had issues. I'm going to stop talking, because I'm apparently just not with it.
I have not done a release in, like, at least 2 days, so nobody's reported any new bugs. It's still beta, though, so it'll come out and be in the tourney scene later this summer.
We'll probably run it on the 2nd, on that event.
Or possibly. I don't usually...
Better? I mean, what are you fixing?
Well, it's...
Give us the sell!
Cool stuff for running events that just makes it easier to deal with. Drops, buys, pairings. So all that stuff just gets streamlined. Some of the our cool stuff I'm looking at adding is the ability to report your games straight to a website. So you just say, hey, we're on round two. I'm going to hit this report button. And anyone who wants to can go to their website and see how your tournament's going. So if you got a convention, people can see, hey,
instead
look.
Of tweeting photographs of the matchups on the wall.
Yeah. So you don't have to tweet photos. You can just go to the site and be like, hey, look, you know, Brian's in 2nd place.
Awesome.
And, you know, Keith got knocked out in round 2 or whatever. You know, you can see all that stuff without having to pester random people.
No, so, that's very cool.
And it's cool because you also have, like, you can say a person's from, so you have the options, but you can say if everyone's from, like, Des Moines and they travel somewhere, it keeps a track of the city, so in round one only, it won't pair, it'll try to avoid pairing same city people.
Yep. Yeah, and it doesn't do, like, the alphabet thing, so Jordan won't always get paired up with the other J people, which I know is a big gripe of his. It randomly selects, so it tries to avoid mirror matches, round one, from your meta and for your faction. So you hopefully not travel 500 miles just to play against the guy who plays the same faction as you in your hometown.
Second round, too bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's
round
it
should be. You're done.
It's just you don't want to drive 5 hours and then your first game is against the guy who rode in your car with you.
Yeah.
Like, that's no fun.
That's only possible if that person can't spell their city correctly.
Yes.
And you're doing it in a way so you can, at the end, when the game is over, you can actually track like more information, like who all these kind of end of event stats.
We do some basic statistics tracking within it that gets kicked back to Privateer Press when the PGs report the game. You know, just simple stuff like, hey, how many games in this scenario ended in scenario victories versus assassination? So hopefully I'll drive some more steamroller development.
Does it track if the winner goes? I mentioned this, you know, I know you said maybe down the road, but does it say if the person who won went first or second?
It does not currently. We're looking at adding that. There's some talks. Some people wanted to be able to plug in lists. I don't know if I'll go that far. No, but
that seems
maybe
like a lot of extra. It's
a big pain in the ass because tournament organizer would have to do that for every single person.
And they got better shit to do than that.
Yeah, it'd be fully optional if we do put that in. I was thinking about putting in optional just warcasters because I think that could be kind of neat to see. But we also have the ability to track a ton of deeper statistical data, and there's a optional workflow that a PG can do at the end. If they're the type of person who likes sharing data, they can hit a submit button. It sends the entire event data up to our server for more processing so we can report on it later.
You're going to categorize stuff, like you're going to have people's like forum names or some universal recognizable names. So like if I do a game here and in Timbuktu and in Guatemala, like it's still just all those, when they're submitted, it has RidiaFan and its stats.
Yep. Yep. So we could, in theory, and there's been talks of this about, you know, the whole player ranking thing, and a lot of people are opposed to it because it's like, you know, it really pulls out the EPIN. But talk to a lot of people about how you can anonymize it. You make it completely opt-in so nobody can, you know, beat you up about your score. So it's something that might come out down the road. It's definitely not in the first pass, but...
But being able to report, say, here's an event, you put the submit online button is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I ran I think I was one of the two betas ago, one of the two versions ago. I ran it for our little event here over in Madison, Wisconsin, and worked out really well. Ran into a bunch of issues. Obviously, those got all fixed, but it was really cool to see at the end kind of all the scenario details, which I didn't know it was actually keeping track of until we finished up the whole tournament. So, yeah, it'd be neat to see stuff like that, you know, like how many TOs out there are really truly the lazy TOs, that the first scenario is close quarters, the second scenario is incursion, the third scenario is by fire, is it?
Fire support.
Fire for effect, I think.
Fire support.
Fire support. And then the last scenario is destruction.
Right.
You know, maybe they left their zones at home or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That was the exact order that I ran in because I was really lazy.
Well, it's easy. You know, you start with two flags, you add a third flag, you take one away and put two zones out. I mean, it's it's really easy to do that spread.
Yeah.
So, PG Swiss is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait to see more stuff with it. So.
Now on color.
What?
It's got colors and animations and flashiness.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hooray.
Just add some porn. Just add a little bit of porn to it, and that way it'll take off.
Add a lot of porn to it.
It's not porn, it's HBO.
Yes.
It's funny because it's a video.
Thank you, Internet.
Yep. All right. Woohoo. We are great.
Lewis, now it's your topic.
Yep.
Oh.
You're the next guest. Have a topic. Go.
Have a topic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you
get entertain us?
No, well, I mean, I've wanted to bitch at Nathan on this podcast for a while.
Oh,
what?
Ooh. Go.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
No, on the podcast,
asshole
I've
riffage.
Listened a couple times, you know, Nathan describe his hatred of Haley 2 and Haley. He just hates Haley.
Hold on.
And
I'm going to cut you off right for a second here. I think it's all of us.
All right. Well, and then...
Mostly because she ruins the game and it's terrible.
Uh-huh. Yes. So I start in this meta listening to all these whiners complain about Haley. So they've actually say, right, I've heard you say, you won't play a casual game with someone who's playing Haley. So as a Signar player, well, I better not play Haley. Oh my gosh. I better learn all the other casts. You know, start doing that and do that. And you guys just ground me into, pigeonholed me into different cast. No. All right. I don't really feel that way, but
so I mean, what I hear is that you are a better player because you play casters that require skill and talent and thought and planning. Your meta's more pleased because it doesn't have to deal with
more
bullshit.
Pleased, but so, it's not as well practiced against what it's going to see so every time it goes to tournaments.
You're a better
cities.
Player, and your friends have more fun playing the game, and that's a bad thing.
Well, Lewis's last point is true, though.
It is true.
When we go to events, we're like, Haley, too. I guess people outside of Madison do play her.
We do need to practice against assholes so that we have better practice when we face assholes. That is true.
No, I mean, but seriously, every other so tournament, every yeah. tournament I've heard of or gone to,
you're right,
there's Haley and there's Haley too.
I've seen you play games, Lewis. Feel free to bring the Haleys.
Because you're bad.
Ouch. I'll bring her with trenchers, right?
Haley 2 Steam was a 2-star strike.
No, I gotta play Sam.
No, you gotta play
Captain
Haley
Sam
1 with trenchers.
Yeah.
So you can't charge except for the trenchers. And sucks.
Until the Stormwall came out, I didn't mind her so much. It's like, the first couple times you play her, you're like, oh my god, somebody just shoved my shit back in. But, once you get used to it, it's like, all right, you get another round of POW 10 shooting. Oh well. And then the Stormwall came out, and it changed things up a little
bit. Even before that, I mean, a Stormclad will annihilate your face. Like, it was, even before Stormwall, it was not another round of POW 10 shootings. It was a Stormclad murdered two things, and then she feeded, and then it killed the rest of your army.
I was always spoiled because my Scorn doesn't give a flying shit about Halley 2. Like, Halley 2, I'm like, oh, I'm playing Scorn. Like, there's no, like, my day isn't affected at all because it's Halley 2. But that's an exception to the rule.
Right.
I still hate Halley 1, but for other reasons. But Halley 2, it's funny when I play. I mean, I love to see Halley 2 when I play Scorn because I think it's going to be an easy game for me. Like, I almost never lose it if I'm playing at all competent.
As long as I'm not locked out of Butcher 3 or playing Minions.
hey, Brigands are pro tech against Halley 2. They get their full activation.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
The Hog Heaven and...
Hog Wild, yeah. Hog Wild. So basically, under her feet, they just gain Bushwhack.
It's pretty entertaining. As with my Cephalix, I ended up taking on Halley 2, and Adrenal Floods is that's a thing against her feet.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Because they get to move and they get to attack, and yeah. Yep.
And just sacrifice my movement. Oh, they walk forward 4 inches.
And trolls don't care that much, do you? It's like meat mounted or whatever. You just have this insane armor thing, and Halley just feats. You're like, whatever, you just keep going after
there's
it.
There's a lot of order of activation stuff that Halley can get screwed up pretty bad, and the troll blitz smaller control area can sometimes be a problem.
Yeah.
So, like, being able to go, like, oh, can't use your fell caller first. Okay, there's an issue, you know.
Well, I guess he's assuming if you do entirely defensively and just withstand her feet and don't try to push in and you just survive it doesn't matter if your fell caller goes first or last. He's still, you know.
Yeah, usually my tech against Halley 2 is usually Jarl. Just keep her on her toes with magic bullets from halfway across the board and cloud away her line of sight for a round so the feet has less impact.
Yeah, but I guess that would be a perfect time to feat is... is the second that she feats that you feat, and then you put up all those clouds.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It'd be...
So, like, she has to spend time to get to you. She can't just decide to wipe you out, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And most of Signar hates the magic bullet. They don't like seeing it come back their way, so...
pro tip, most factions hate the magic bullets.
No. So, Lewis, play more Epic Kane. You should.
Well, that's the one card. I lost the card, and I had I gotta pull out.
I just have to pull out the card.
Just get War Room. Get War Room. We have War Room.
I have a cheap ass iPod that's old and it doesn't function.
So holy whining!
Huh?
To get a new tablet.
We've seen your house. Get a new tablet. You can afford.
We've seen your house. Buy Apple.
All right.
I'm going to say that should not be that funny.
We're just saying you have a nice house.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but actually, I have had a lot of fun with Cray and now with Striker 3, just playing it, you know.
And Cray catches people off guard because people don't see him. He's one of those dark horses where like people are like, Cray, I don't even know what he does. And then you annihilate them.
Yeah. Well, then you cast Full Throttle.
Yeah.
Well, yep, and then there he goes. His entire army is in your throat round two, you know? Yeah.
I've messed him up a time or two when I didn't feat when I should have, or you know.
Well, your biggest challenge is you just don't play as much as you should play.
No.
I mean, you have
I play once, twice a month, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you played two or three games a week, I mean, but this is true of anybody, obviously. Yeah.
But I do like, I remember playing Brian, and I was scared shitless of his Denny list, you know, and I was playing Cray, and he's feeding, and I'm like, oh crap, and he didn't really do much to all my jacks.
Is it Denny 2 or Denny 1?
Which one's the one? No, Denny 1. The
with
one
the
who,
minus 2 to all stats, yeah.
So okay. I felt completely screwed because my movement was just completely hampered. Everything was hampered. But I survived.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I realized how weak he is after.
Yeah, yeah.
After the feat.
Yeah. She's all about the scenario control, and if she can get a bunch of buffs onto something, she can just eliminate it off the table.
Yeah.
But if she doesn't do that, it's...
Because stacking Parasite and her feet, or stacking Crippling Grasp and her feet, then just things just vaporize.
Yeah.
But
and then but he still won because I had to chase her around the freaking board after that.
I played so many games of War Machine, I have no memory of that game.
Oh, yeah. No,
I don't even know
it was
that
funny
that happened.
Because you got very angry after the feat turn, because I'd been whining about how, I'm screwed. And then all of a sudden I'm wiping out his army. I'm like, oh, hey. And Denny's running across the field. I'm like, oh.
That went better than expected.
Did we play that game this year?
Yeah.
Interesting.
For Brian, that was a Tuesday.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it's within my year of playing.
Okay.
Which extends back probably 3 years.
It's within Lewis's last 50 games.
Well, I've been playing so much Scorn for the last year. Like, I don't know when
you did take a break from the Scorn briefly, and you had You were doing Crix for all a little bit, and you threw that.
I'm going to believe you.
Yeah.
I mean, you said I won, so it's a happy ending. I just don't remember. I don't remember the actual details. I don't remember a lot of my wins. I'm like, beat a noob and moved on. Like, I don't really have the... It's the losses you remember. Like, how the fuck that guy beat me? And you're like, oh, yeah, stupid idiot. Not myself, I meant for anybody.
Sure. Jerk.
So. I'm a dick. I'm just having some fun.
Speaking of which, pro tip, Forsakens, when they roll damage, you get a die for every fury on the thing you're rolling damage against, and you also still get the basic two dice.
Yeah, Marshall.
It was funny.
Marshall. Did he forget?
Well, he rolled it. Like during the game, he rolled the damage. He rolled a bunch of dice. I don't even pay attention. I take the damage, and then we're watching the video, and then we see he was two dice short.
I'm just like, why'd you only roll four dice? That Warpwolf has four fury on it. You should have rolled six. And Marshall's like, oh god, no. Because that Warpwolf taking two more dice of damage may or may not have mattered a lot.
Oh. Yeah. Oh man,
so it was kind of funny. Which is great, but now the fact that if he never would have watched that game being recorded, he never would have realized the mistake. But now because he saw that, the next gazillion times he plays that Forsaken, he's not going to make that mistake. Because he realized that's a flaw in his game, is maybe he's not grabbing enough dice, and now because he has very specific dice he wants to roll for damage, so he just avoided the other ones.
Well, because a lot of people do that. They have like the red dice for damage, and then the one white die for location or whatever. Exactly, and so he had five damage dice, and he just rolled four of them. And like,
yeah, because, it has four fury. Huh?
Yeah,
four.
Exactly.
Oh, poor Marshall.
Yeah.
That's uncharacteristic of him, actually. That's like Legion Day 1 routine, isn't it?
Well, it's just literally brain spasm. I mean, it wasn't that he didn't understand how it worked. He just, he grabbed four dice. He's four fury, four dice, roll.
We all do stuff like that. Slammed into his line, then swung and hit one of his beasts, and he's like, his spirit's out.
That was classic Marshall. During field test, during the field test, none of the Mark 1 cards were accurate, so there were printouts he had to print out, and because that's why they're called printouts. But Marshall didn't bother. He would just remember all the damage to all of his beasts in his head, and you'd like hit something and do like five damage to the three, and then like the next turn you do six damage to the one, and he's like, oh, okay, that got his mind. Like, if you say so, Marshall. I have no idea what just happened. And for all I know, he's got an eidetic memory, and it was perfect in their like Excel spreadsheets, but I'm pretty sure he was just making shit up.
That sounds fair. We'll roll with it. Like,
all the damn playtest feedback for Legion is all skewed because of that.
Yes. I don't think Shredder should have 37 hitboxes all in the spirit. That's weird.
That's our Lewis moment.
All right, Jeff, your turn for a topic.
Well, I'm not good at original ideas, so I'm actually just going to piggyback off of Lewis's stuff there. I really think that people need to get more out of the internet mindset and start using lesser played figures. I know that that's been my flagship forever, but I have gotten a lot of success out of the crap figures that people like hate online. I surf the Trollblood forums because it's so much fun to sit there and go like, nope, wrong. Like people hate on like the Swamp Troll. Like,
and that guy's fucking amazing.
Have they read his rules?
When I played Trolls and he came out, I could not stop masturbating. That guy's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's fantastic. For 4 points, you get the full Troll Hell Spiral, one less armor, which is kind of unpleasant, but you get Pathfinder on there. You get one of the better animi in the games, especially on a Trollblood Warlock.
Borka with that Animus and Iron Flesh and a stone is like defense 22, armor 20, like no knockdown. It's like, the fuck? How can anybody not love that?
Yeah, and I have gotten some stupendous mileage out of the tongue, the dragon, the crit consume effects. I take circle players off guard all the time. I just advance my swamp troll within 5 inches of a rock, and then I boost an attack roll. And they go, what in the world are you doing? Like, I'm hoping for a crit somewhere on those three dice.
Yeah.
Because all I need is to not roll triple ones, and two of them have to be the same. 1-1-2, and I crit consume one of the three rocks.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's just on hit. That's not a drag.
You don't have to drag.
Yeah, no, that's what we were talking about that the other day about crit consume and that, and it threw me off because I thought you had to drag it. I'm like, stones can't be drug.
No, you're right. It can't.
Yeah, because we had who was making a really cool conversion of a swamp troll eating a shifting stone.
Yeah, like you, you get, like, the swamp troll hurts the shifting stone, then the shifting stone just takes damage and it stays there. But you get the crit die, it gets eaten.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with your core idea, though. People need to try more. I mean, not every model in a faction is going to be a winner, but there's definitely more models in a faction that people are willing to give tries to that are going to be successful.
Yeah, and I mean, there's always a possibility for some very small niches.
Yeah.
The winner troll is like one of those struggling points. Like, it's almost right, but it needs some little something to fix it. It's not quite there.
But Troll has the same thing. Score is you have so many good beasts that if you have, you're almost okay with one not being that good because like I already have like 18 good choices. So if one isn't that special, I can just, because you have so many good lights and so many good, I mean, you have so many good lights from Trolls.
Yeah, well, like the problem I see with Scorn's behalf is they've got a couple of beasts that are almost undercosted. The Gladiator and the Bronzeback are both like debatably a point cheaper than the
Bronzeback's pretty expensive.
Debatably?
The Gladiator.
I think they are, but like, other people will disagree, hence the debate.
It's a very expensive.
Technically, you can debate anything.
My Gladiator never kills a goddamn thing.
It's like the Avatar.
Yeah, and it's 8 points.
That's why it doesn't kill it. It's properly pointed because it never gets anything done.
It's 8 points. You know what I pay for Maulers and Blitzers?
Yeah, but you know your rush is on a light beast, so.
On a 6-point light beast.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like a.
For 2 more points, I would take a Gladiator any day of the week.
Speed 4, he's very slow.
Except when he's being rushed and then gets a free charge.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of models doing a lot of things.
He doesn't usually bring things that can do that.
Right.
You just teleport. Who charges anymore?
Troll Blitz charge. They don't have a goddamn choice.
I'm going to be playing my score next. Like, what the hell is happening here? Where's my stones?
You're going to be moving your beast handlers like in a triangle around your back. And you're like, go, Rushback, go! Fly!
Aww.
He's going to see someone.
Should have a beast exchange program.
I want to borrow the Rotterhorn forever. They can have my Razor Worm.
Yeah, that seems like a fair trade up.
I'll allow it. I'm willing to take that hit.
Minions should be allowed to take any beast. You know,
I think casters should take minion beasts.
Hey, I've wanted to ask you guys. Like, about, you know, the different tournaments, they're always, you know, multiple lists. You bring lists to counter other lists. I mean, would they ever do just, like, bring one caster and bring two lists for that caster? Like, you know, is it so bad that, like, I mean, wouldn't that allow you to build a list that would counter your worst, even though it's not your best
The closest you kind of get to that is the specialist mechanic. Because, you know, depending on how deep the specialist roster goes, you can sub out, you know, up to half your list.
Okay, that's what, I was wondering about that. I mean, just because, you know, I've heard you complain or mention, you know, running against something that is completely opposite. Like playing, who is it, Legion, the magic attack, Bethane?
Yeah.
And going up against Gorshade 2, which shut down all the magic. Like, I played her
to be fair, that's a fun matchup.
For the Gorshade player.
Exactly, like where everything was shut down. But if I was able to take a different list with that caster, I
what advantage would that have over just two lists with two different casters?
I guess
both to you personally on the day and to the game in general.
Because then you're just bringing one caster, you know what you're facing caster wise, and then you just pick a list.
So it would make the list chicken a little different. I mean,
that actually sounds a lot like the event we're doing in August.
Well, it's three cat. Well, it is different. It's kind of the same kind of different because in August you bring three casters, but you both say, okay, I'm playing this and you're playing that, and then you completely create the list. So you are customizing a list based off.
That's what
Yeah. I'll have my three, you have your three, we say I'm playing this, you're playing this, and then we each get 20 minutes to actually take our list, mash them together, and make something new.
That sounds cool. Alright, yeah, I like that.
Well, they show up on the second. August 2nd. I have to be somewhere, I don't know what's going on. I have to walk the dog.
Dude, when a 140-pound dog tells you it needs a walk,
I train that dog.
I'm more
bite
concerned
people.
That the dog's
You're
talking
welcome.
To you.
I know. I have teeth marks on my arm right
a
now.
Son of
Thanks to Brian.
Just took me 4 hours of constant teaching how to bite.
Because if there's one thing you want to do with a mastiff, it's teach it to bite people.
Right, exactly.
And you just got to sprinkle some phosphorus on it, and you got a literary classic.
He didn't bite hard. Like it's kind of like that. Well, see, he was like more of a gnaw. It was more of a gnaw than a bite.
Yeah. Brian's just standing there riling my
more
dog.
He's like tasting you and figuring like, do I want to continue with this? Like, no. Brian's too salty. I don't want to go on.
Yeah, but there's a point with an animal. It's like how like great whites don't actually eat people. They just don't have hands, so they're like, I don't know what this is. Let me check. Chomp. Oh, it's a person. That's interesting, and they swim away, and you are bifurcated. Like, it doesn't matter that the shark didn't want to kill you.
Just didn't like the taste.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's not a seal. Oh. Bye. And it swims away, and you're dead.
It's just headless.
Yeah.
Oh, we have news and announcement. News. We have news
about being headless.
No. They put the cover of the next book out. Like they have the artwork out.
Yeah. I saw somebody like zoomed in on one little square inch, and there's like a bug leg.
There's a huge like a Scorn gets some sort of arachnid creature because it's a big bug insect thing.
That
it's
so many things.
But it's armored in Scorn armor because you can tell. Right. But it's a Scorn something.
That could be their cataphract beetle right on the spot.
And then But I have. Yes. But anyway. Erection? No. Well, also, well, that was from
And that's also in Scorn armor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had the Xerxes model put out, which got shared, like, beautiful. So they, Prefecture Press tweeted that, and I swear to God, in the first 5 minutes, it was already retweeted, like, 2 dozen times.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't notice until after I woke back up.
Right.
I was like, what just happened? I'm like, oh, yeah, pass back out again. My office, my cubicles is full of semen.
Some of it his.
Yeah.
He likes Bukkake. What's the problem with that? Yeah.
But man, I'm very excited to see what that Scorn bug is going to be.
That model is beautiful.
Yeah, but Xerxes, so
you know it's going to be unplayably bad.
You know,
you're going to be so sad about it.
So I'm still going to show. I'm going to Jeff that model off. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to play it until I win 7 tournaments in a row. That's my declaration.
Well, you got a long way because I've yet to win a tournament in any recent memory.
Like, well, I'm taking. I'm going up to the next level. I'm going right to 7.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I should be doing scrambles at War Machine Weekend. Yeah. And come on, Xerxes!
I'm going to call events tournaments in my house. Like, hey, random person, come over here. I beat him! I want another one.
Maybe I should bring my Archangel back into the game. I don't know.
Animus, that's legit, man. One out of three models will die 2 turns from now.
Right. Hey, it only costs you 2 fury.
Yeah. For 2 fury, you might kill 1 out of 3 of the models a couple turns from now.
And yet there was no way I was passing up buying that model.
Yeah. That's an amazing model.
It's a beautiful-looking model.
Yeah. Those things painted up are just brilliant.
What, loan me your Legion for a week. I will try it out. I will find something to make it feasible.
It's called Pythagoras.
I will do that.
Well, you just don't use its Animus because Animus is terrible. It's got a decent gun. I mean, if you use it as a ranged beast, and then once attrition starts getting the numbers down, then you move it into melee late game, it's actually not bad. It just has a worthless Animus. And Gargantuans in general just struggle from not having the advantages that Colossals do.
Yeah, right. The Matt and Rad of Colossals compared to the Gargantuans.
Well, no, those are pretty standard. Pretty
nice. Well, pretty I'm wondering style. If Beth, the new... Absalonia will allow to,
based on what Eborka does for the Mountain King, I wouldn't hold your breath.
It said that she was going to be able to mutate her beasts instead of herself, so I was hoping that she would be able to bump up Madara.
Maybe something. She'll give it a reach.
Yeah.
She'll give it reach around.
I'll give it flight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we're saying things that it already has, speed and it's six. Funny.
All right.
Speaking of models that are questionable, I want to take this sometime this year. I want to take the Jake Van Meter challenge. If you can play against Jake Van Meter and you bring a Siege Animatrix, if you beat him with it in your list, he will buy you a Siege Animatrix. If you kill his caster with a Siege Animatrix, he will get you 3 of them. So he has an ongoing bet for like 3 years now, and no one's been able to beat him with that.
He's got to be able to get that done with his alt theme force because they start with the rage tokens and stuff.
Yeah, there's some people have been trying all sorts of things to get that thing to like do some serious damage. It just gets this kind of the Jake Van Meter challenge. It's just
I don't know if I've ever seen one fielded ever.
I bring it out at least twice a year because I have my play a model every year within a year rule.
I assembled that fucking thing.
they were on sale online for like $30. Like, man, I should get a second one because it's $30. Like, but then I put 2 on the table at the same time, and I'd be so sad. But I still almost bought it, but then it actually sold out, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's
it's $30 for a battle engine. I mean, at some point it could be and it looks great, and it's almost cool, and it's almost neat in a lot of ways. Almost.
It's close,
but yeah, I definitely want. I need to take the Jake Van Meter challenge at some point.
Putting 2 of those Gator battle engines on the table at the same time is going to be absurd.
Oh, that's going to be a
just do that, then just like sit said, there and touch myself.
Just never attack.
Dies.
Just keep the 2 of them like 5 inches in between the 2 of them. It's like, oh, okay, so I have 19-inch auto kill wall just advancing up the field. That's handy.
It's gorgeous.
I have no idea what it does. I didn't realize there were spoilers out for it.
It holds souls, and you can spend souls to do stuff, and that's interesting. Yeah. Instead, you just don't spend them, because as long as it has a soul, any model that ends its movement within 2 inches dies.
Oh,
that ability. Well,
takes a point.
Well, takes a point. Everything just dies, including friendly. He just starts killing
it. It would be worth it. It is great. It's like you're facing Crix, and you're like, oh, you have Banes and stuff. I don't care. And then you just walk forward, and everything dies. And in case they, you know, because it's Crix, they try to cast a spell, you're immune to all spells ever also.
And if it doesn't have souls, it just generates souls.
Yeah, it just gets souls every turn. And it gets souls from your stuff and their stuff within like 10 inches. And you make your whole army immune to spells. And you make your whole army immune to infantry.
It has P. Haley's,
and then if you feel like shooting, it's got a great gun that makes them kill each other.
It's a bone shaker gun.
Oh, wow.
So it can use the souls to boost the bone shaker gun, too. So.
And if you want your caster...
three of those a turn, I think.
Your caster can take Fury off of him during his activation. So your caster's like, hey, I'd like to have functionally 12 Fury this turn, and then they charge in and kill everything.
That seems really, really good.
Yeah, it's
actually
nice.
It's a model finally good enough where Gator players will stop spamming three lists of Gatorman Posse. They'll actually only spam, you know, two with one of those.
There's a reason why I started painting my Gatorman. It's stayed in boxes for 2 years.
They put the model up of the new Warlock for Gators, too.
Jaga.
Oh, yeah.
She looks so sweet. There are snakes on her, and oh, my God.
The undead thing. Ooh,
oh, yeah.
It's kind
of
creepy.
Well, people weren't sure if that was going to be a separate model or just part of it, but evidently it's like a ranged action. It just like shoots it out or something. But
looks,
that
like
is...
looks like it's from the same snake family as like Scarith is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, people are kind of hoping her dead. Theme Force would get that.
Would get Dahlia and Scarith?
Yeah.
Or just Scarith.
Just Scarith.
I care about Dahlia. Have you seen what she does?
She's annoying.
Yeah.
If you play Butcher 3, you should be terrified of Dahlia. Dahlia makes you automatically lose every game with Butcher 3. It's really handy.
Aww. You should have watched Jordan flounder against Dahlia. Basically, was it Dan who was doing it?
She doesn't play for minions.
Be warned that if you put Butcher 3 down and your opponent has Dahlia, you might as well just walk away and get a nap and a lunch and let your clock run out, because that's about the odds of winning the game.
I know you've talked about this, but what is... Yeah.
Does Butcher like doing spells or charging?
Those are typically things...
You don't get to do either of those. Oh. Either of them.
Well, you can't charge
her.
No,
she doesn't stop any spellcasting.
You can't charge because there's no orders. Yeah. She stops orders.
He's a unit.
Yeah. So he can't charge. And he can't attack her. He's just not allowed to with melee.
Or range.
He's not allowed to attack her, except with his spell. He can cast a spell, but she has transfers. So he can try to obliterate her to death over several turns that she's transferring the damage away. And the whole time, he can't attack her. He's not allowed to charge. His dogs aren't allowed to run or charge. He just walks around doing nothing. And Butcher 3 doesn't like walking around doing nothing.
Yeah. Not so much, no.
No.
And she can quite literally just run up and give him a hug and go, hi, yeah. Butcher!
She'll just run base to base and go, toot toot, you suck, toot toot!
Man, Dolly was in the middle of Jordan's army, and he had like 20 Iron Fake Pink, or the pikemen, and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't attack her.
No shield wall, no charging.
They were just floundering around all confused, and she was just sitting in the middle of the army.
Nothing can attack her. Nothing can give orders anywhere near her.
So you don't want to shoot her?
She can give herself prowl.
So you can get, you're
not allowed to attack her within her command, I believe, which command is like eight. So you could shoot her from nine. You can shoot her from like 8.5, except she can give herself prowl. So if she finds like a forest or something
or
to just tow in or a
stealth.
Swamp gobbler, she just gets stealth. So you can't shoot her from
You just walk swamp gobbler's up behind her and just boom.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you could hypothetically attack them, but not by charging. You'd have to walk up, and swamp gobblers are decent defense.
Yeah, especially because they're probably in their cloud.
And... Yeah,
and her ability is living only, so some armies, if
it doesn't do diddly against Crix or Convergence, but
that's really neat.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, I've had her model since she came out, but I've never.
I picked her up because she was the unplayed minion duo, and I tried her a couple games and did some pretty scary stuff with her.
Especially like with the introduction of Warcaster units, that no orders ability is now really huge.
Well, that
huge.
Was icing on the cake because I was trying it before they had stepped out.
Yeah.
And discovering, like, you know, a 10-inch spray is pretty legit when you can boost it. And you want to boost it because you need to get that fury out there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and that snake just walk up and go, is that Eris? I'm going to spit on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's dead now. Hooray!
It's also a fast-moving snake, too. I think it's a 6 or 7.
It's 6 with reach and crit consume on the bite.
Yep.
I think I played a game against you where that snake ate the keg so you didn't get the party foul.
No!
And then Dahlia locked Borka in place next to the snake.
No!
So you can still attack the snake, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but
I couldn't do damage to it.
Defense of 14 snake and a couple boxes, and at that point in the game, if you smash the snake, Dahlia's like, I'm just going to cut for some more fury and still play my flute.
Yeah.
You know, she is a troublemaker. against any army that's not Krix or conversions. And she's wonderful.
Or Jack Swarm in general.
Jack Swarms don't pop up very often.
Well, no, but hypothetically, she is not good against them.
Yeah, see, hear that? Bring a Jack Swarm to counter Dahlia. That's what you should put.
Pro tip of the day.
Crazy.
You can slam her. You can, like, slam crap over. You can throw stuff.
Well, but if she puts the snake in front of her, you can't really slam stuff over.
Slam the snake.
It's serpentine.
It can't be knocked down in this large base.
Well, you can, I don't care if it's knocked down if it goes right over.
No, no, you can't be slammed. It's a
Serpentine.
You can slam it, but it won't be knocked down. Right. So if you can't stand, you have to slam the snake, which is defense 14, so it's not stupendously easy. But you can't, like, plop somebody in front of her and slam that, because the snake will take the hit instead and go, oh, I'm a snake.
Plus, if you're spending all this effort plopping stuff in and trying to slam stuff over here, remember they also have a rest of their army.
Yeah, that's true. She's only 9 points, 10 if you include her Swamp Gobber attachment. So I have a hard time not taking them with her. Yeah. It works out well.
Sexy times.
Yeah. And the model is great in that snake, too.
It's fantastic. Oh, yeah. They're really sexy. Andy's looking at his phone. Let's all stare at Andy.
Yes, let's.
No, I was looking at our Zappity Grumbles.
Oh. Is it time for those already?
It's about that time.
We've all had a topic. One last random news. So people have been speculating what that insect's going to do for Scorn. And someone's like, well, it's got long legs, so it'll give them reach. That was like their logic. Like, look at the elasticity.
Really?
That's
where they're going?
Like there's an enemy that Scorn's not going to get.
I love speculative internet. Yeah, I know. It says this brief thing, so obviously that's what it's going to do.
Well, its legs are long, so obviously it's going to grant reach. That was the logic.
And Pathfinder and Leap. Yeah. And
Scorn does not get elasticity.
I don't know. I think it'd be okay. I would find a way to make it work.
They can do like they did with Rush. They can give it to Scorn and then make it worse so it fucks over the faction that already has it. God damn it. Agreed. We troll players were happy with Rush. It was a good ability, and then you took it and nerfed it because it was too good for Scorn. So don't give it to Scorn. I want to charge with my Fellcaller hero, god damn it.
Oh, I used to
or my champion
lots of
hero.
Just throwing Rush on two or three champions around, Rush and barrel forward, like, yeah.
When that was basically Boundless Charge, it was very exciting.
But not anymore. Some Jerks. Underpriced war beast got it in another faction.
Talk about the Gladiator.
So are we going to zappity it up and grumble it up?
Yeah, I can do that. Woo-hoo! I can start up. Zappity Grumble. Do we have a jingle?
I thought you were going to do it on your...
Andy has been very sad that the Zappity Grumble has been taken from him, so he gets his time.
Been taken from me because my old laptop would actually destroy our podcast.
So this is his time to do it, so let's not take his thunder.
Yeah.
Or his zappity.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason why we have Jeremy
phoning it in.
But here, I'll make him self-conscious. I'm going to count every time you say basically.
So basically, this guy's asking...
Oh. I love you, Andy. I made him angry and self-conscious.
I touched on your face.
So someone here favorited our Cephalix versus Meanoth battle.
Yunoth?
Meanoth.
Yunoth?
Meanoth.
Chrisnoth?
No.
Vector.
Darn near killed her.
Oh,
Nathan, you got a Zappity Grumble? You got a jingle for us?
What?
Make a jingle.
We want a jingle?
Yep, do a jingle. Yeah.
Do a jingle, bitch.
Let's get ready to rumble with Zappity Grumble, bitches.
I wasn't into it until I heard the bitches. Now I'm sold.
Yeah.
And
what a twist.
All right, what else do you want Opera Pig to have that would make her perfect but balanced for the game? Has she actually been spoiled?
Two things. She has Dash and Defender's Ward.
Those are both good.
But the people have been complaining that's turd polishing. Like, now our reach...
Do we know the rest of what...
No, not her, but, like Slaughterhousers are slow... And they're not actually weapon masters. You have to put an effort to make them weapon masters. Like, that's the complaint people have. And they're like, well, sure. Like, now they're still... they're still almost as good as the things that people already have. You know, like, they're not Bane Knights because they're not. Now they're, with Dash, they're the same speed and ignore freeze strikes. And if you injure the thing, then they're Weapon Masters. So if you put a lot of effort into it and cast a spell, then they're Bane Knights. So why didn't we just get Bane Knights? Like, people are complaining.
Because they didn't get one of the more broken Crix units?
Yeah. I mean, on the other hand, I like my Slaughterhousers, and making them immune to freeze strikes and plus one speed makes me happy. Like,
yeah, they're quit your bitching.
I am in no way a fan of that.
Yeah. Oh no! Like that turns them from scary to me to downright terrified.
Yeah. And Duggan Brigands with Defender's Ward on them are very happy.
Yeah,
you know,
and being able to switch into a dash to get them going where they need to for Hogwild, also pretty nice.
But my answer would be some kind of a two hit buff or a debuff on the opponent, because in general pigs aren't very accurate.
Like a calamity.
Yeah, like a calamity or something like that. I mean, that's why, you know, I like that Dr. Arcadia sets Crippling Grasp for that reason, but. Something that helps to hit.
Yeah. I didn't know that she was spoiled, so.
Just those real two.
Yeah, just the dash and Defender's Ward.
Defeat the other spells.
Zappity?
Grumble.
Jesus. All right, how do I keep Denegar 2 ball busting and alive at the same time versus, like, Loth 2 Scavarus Kane?
Kane 2. Scavarus.
Kane 2.
Yeah.
It just has Kane.
Yeah. I assume it means Kane. I understand the Lilith and the Kane, too. And Scavarus, I'm not quite sure what's going on there. I think Scavarus touched a guy wrong once or something. I mean, she can win both of them.
I guess
matchups.
He's scared of the spell assassinate? No, because he can't move his arc nodes if you feed it on him.
If you feed on him, but could you move her with TK?
If you're close enough, why is she within... If she's within range of him to TK himself forward to spell assassinate her, the answer is be another inch back.
You can beat all those casters with a dagger 2 if you are really good at just practice positioning. It's all about positioning in those scenarios. And
good old standby is block line of sight tour on your feet turn. Just
wreck your arc node and stand
for the cover. I mean, wreck your arc node or stand behind it.
Try out the new Crix Jack with Shield Guard.
When he comes up, I cannot wait for that guy.
No.
that'd be probably one of the things that get me back into Crix when that Shield Guard's
like
out.
Scorn.
I do.
Stay with your Scorn and Circle.
The bigger issue is don't run her against Durgan.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is a bad matchup for her.
Yep. Because there's these two, they're called... Well, actually, there's just this one called Ayana.
If you have...
He doesn't even need her.
If you have Dareth Wraith,
Explosivo himself, shooter. Explosivo himself, shooter, win. Yeah.
Well, what you have to do is you have to have Dareth Wraith list. She has to feet, get Durgan at exactly 14, and then Dareth Wraith has to bump her back an inch.
Yep.
That's ridiculous, but if you can do that, you can be okay in that game. But any other scenario, you're probably dying.
Wow.
So it's not a good matchup.
Yeah.
Yep. It's pretty specific.
There's a reason Jordan Knack slaughtered a Denny 2 player in the finals of Adepticon, because it's an awful matchup.
Jimmy!
Grumble.
Good job, Lewis. You're the grumble today.
Neither of the other guests were hopping in, so.
It just sounded he was like Popeye or something.
Well, Rick is too busy playing with his professor.
Oh.
Let me rub its bald head.
I didn't know it got
like
a degree.
6-inch professor, I mean.
You are exaggerating. That's like 4.5, if anything.
Very knobby end. A little bent, though.
Now you know why he's Katie's favorite toy.
Right. Let me nibble on your little professor.
All right. Jesus. So Green asks, who is your favorite zombie side survivor? And who should the next survivor be? Who should be the next survivor they create?
Well, Nathan can give the correct answer.
Uncle Honk is broken as shit. Holy crap.
Murderous thing or whatever that is.
If it wasn't for toxic zombies, like with standard zombie side, I think Uncle Honk, if he just started with two claw hammers, would just solo the game. Like, he's absurdly good in melee. The Bloodlust skill that he gets in his orange level. So he starts with Taunt, which turns out is way more useful than it looks, because it's just you target a zone and all the zombies in that zone activate, so you use it to move them towards you so that you can murder them, because he has Bloodlust as his skill, which is, as an action, move 2 spaces and make a combat action. So he gets to just move 8 spaces and attack 4 times every turn if he wants to. And you just cluster things up. And with claw hammers, you're rolling 6 dice, needing 5. So the zombies are just begging for their unlives and just dying in droves. That was broken as shit. Like, halfway through that game, we all just caught on to the fact that that was unstoppable.
But it's power. What is it? It's power.
The claw hammers are power 1. So the flip side is you can just get a chainsaw, and that's power 2. Yeah. So you can kill. The only thing then you have to worry about is abominations.
Yeah. Which we had someone in our game who could kill Abomination, so right. He would go in and clear everything, but the Abomination he would do is finish off.
Yeah,
Uncle Honk is ridiculous.
I did like the great part is we were double checking that Taunt was as broken as it seemed, and so Brian picks up his reference sheet and he's looking for a while and he can't find it. And he's like, "Oh wait, I was looking under H for Honk."
For the first hour of the game, all you would be say you would go Honk and you'd move the zombies. We just kept saying Honk whenever you taunt for an hour, and then I'm trying to find Honk in the book.
And we're all like, "Could you honk that group for me?" Like, sure, I can honk that group for you. Yeah. Honk, honk, and then we just move 8 zombies forward.
Yeah.
So what expansion was he in?
He is one of the in season 2, and you can actually buy him in season 3 because there was guest artists, and these are actually sold retail. Like 90% of season 2 was Kickstarter only, but three people did special models, and you can buy them at Peggy. They're on the shelf now, and he's a big clown guy. He's actually for sale. It's $25 for two characters, which is a little expensive, but I took a picture on Facebook. I literally have this insanely thick stack of characters now. It's like, I don't have them all, but the fact how little we play, I still have more than we're never going to get through all of them, because I have just too many. Like, I'm probably not even going to do season 3 for the exclusive of season 3, because I'll buy when they come out the core sets, because it adds some new zombies again, but it's like, I have like 50 characters practically. It's ridiculous.
They need to slow down, and that's what they need to do next. This is not so many exclusive characters.
Well, they are doing slightly better. This new season, like the current season, season 2 had 24 plus exclusives. Season 3 maybe only has 8, which is, I mean, it's still a little ridiculous, but it's not
the flip insane. Side, I'm sure they're very, very well off now.
Oh, they're making each, yes. Like,
why would they slow down? We yeah, keep true. Giving them money.
They got a million. they ask, and their initial goal is like, oh, we just need $100,000. And they always, you know, because they know they're going to get over a million. Because they got like a million and a half in season 3 already. So like 15 days. They'll probably go over 2 million before it's done. And the thing is, of course, you want to give more because every, you know, 150,000, they add another exclusive character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good system for them.
Yeah.
I'd like
and,
a dog.
And it's cheap because it's a piece of paper and a plastic mold.
Yeah, I will say the cool thing about season 3, if you buy it, you can get one of the things included is every single card for every single miniature that's come out. So you can get all the season 1 exclusives and 2 exclusives. You won't get the mini, but at least you have the cards so that you can just grab whatever mini you want.
BYRM.
To be honest with you, as a completist, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
I mean, because obviously trying to pick up all season 1 stuff right now is just stupid.
And I got lucky. I have over half of the season 1 stuff. And season 1 was maybe only 15 special models, and I have most of them. But towards the end, they were going for $100 per figure, if not more. Yeah. Now they're even more. Now it's even more ridiculous for season 1. Season 2 was so heavily bought that they still go for a lot, but nowhere near the stupidity of season 1.
But being able to get all the cards anyway. I mean, miniatures, it doesn't matter. You can play with a penny on the board, and that's fine, too. Yeah.
There's enough secondary companies that I'll make miniatures for it.
True. Very true.
But I want a dog as the next survivor.
Well, we have... There are companions. I have zombie dogs. I have companion dogs. Oh,
we didn't play that?
We just didn't play
games. Oh, okay. Never mind then. I'm glad they have that already.
Yep.
Is there a Bubs?
Maybe. Oh, no. Not a Bubs zombie, no. I don't think so.
It should be a Bubs.
Or Fido.
There's a Fido.
Well, that's basically... yeah.
I mean, same thing. They have a whole expansion that's friendly zombies.
Jesus. Shenanigans. Well, yeah. The next expansion involves team. Like, players can get into teams, and there's, like, team abilities. Like, everyone can fight at the same time, fire at the same time. But there's also, like, versus. So you can have, like, your team of 3 versus their team of 3 all trying to achieve goals while dealing with zombies. Which I don't know if it'd be fun or not, but, I mean, if you have, like, if you play with 6 people, 2 teams of 3 trying to...
It's kind of like Fortune and Glory.
Yeah. Having a game where it's 2 teams of 3 where you have to, you know, compete with the other person, but you have to still have to deal with the game is kind of a fun mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of the, you know, mechanic where you hamstring the other team so that they get eaten by the zombies and you're in the way?
True, but you still have to achieve your own goals. So if you like just deal with, if you like say you spend your turn shooting your other opponents, there's still a wall of zombies coming at you. So suddenly you're like, oh crap, now the zombies ate us.
Yeah. On the flip side, if the other team has like a Molotov cocktail and you can get it from them, then you can deal with that wall of zombies.
Or
yeah.
Throw a Molotov cocktail at them.
Sure. And then retrieve their Molotov cocktail.
Yes.
So, which somehow survived the explosion.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Zavity.
Rumble.
Good job, Lewis. You're the best.
John Christensen asks,
hi, John.
What should you watch at 7 p.m. Central on Twitch TV?
Oh, do we have a Crippled System channel?
We have a Crippled System channel.
We should just broadcast. We should just, we should,
I'd watch
we should,
that.
Yeah, we should have like Cooper Potato go on it from 7 to 8.
That'd be great. We could set up on the on the street with like a giant billboard sign, kind of like the Pepsi Challenge, or the Coke Challenge. Cooper Potato.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else on Twitch at 7.
Are you willfully mean?
What?
Wait, is this
everybody John should watch the latest, greatest Crick's hit John? TV show?
No, it's Menoth.
Oh, it's Menoth John.
Oh, you were joking. God damn it.
Menoth John doesn't have a Twitch show. What?
You're all being mean to poor John.
What? No, I hung out with John just on Wednesday. Menoth John.
See, we have a Menoth John,
nobody
too.
Nobody outside of Madison realizes that.
It works.
Yeah.
It would be funny if our local Menoth John did have a Twitch show on Saturday, or on Sundays at 7. He was just depressed because nobody ever watches it.
Dude, and he's like,
Rick, I told you so many times.
No, that's what we need to do.
we could actually have John Service doing painting with Menoth John.
But he'll paint a house.
Yeah, he'd be painting a house. <and a
fence. laughs> I got some housework that needs painting.
There you go.
Just make him do work.
Perfect show.
Did you see the clip of House dressed as a house painting a house on a house?
No.
It's literally, like, you just see a hand. It's a guy drawing a picture of a house on a house, and it pans over, and it is Hugh Laurie in a costume of a house, like, with chimney and everything. So it's House as a house painting a house on a house. Thank you, Internet. And thank you, Hugh Laurie, for doing that. Like, have better things to do?
Yeah, to answer John's question, there is a show that he puts on called The Painting with Menoth John, which is at 7 p.m. Central on Twitch TV.
Hypothetically, when we start actually doing live broadcast of this, we were going to time it to be like from 5:30 to 7 so that people could watch us all as one big entertainment block.
Soon.
I feel cool. Sorry for those people.
Right.
Yeah. That's way too much nonsense.
I can think of better ways to spend your Sunday night.
They deal with our shit, and then they turn over to a shirtless middle-aged man drunk on crack and rum.
There's so much good TV, actual TV.
To be honest with you, that sounds a really good pitch. Yeah. If we were having a board meeting here, I'd be like, I want to subscribe
Sold.
To this.
To be fair, he's kind of crossing the middle age, though. He's on the other end of that.
Yeah.
But it's like UHF. Like, we just have all these terrible... The Crippled System channel just needs to be like UHF, where it's just terrible, terrible things that are amazing somehow.
Well, Cooper Potatoes would definitely be
on this.
Zephyrny.
Grumbo.
What is the square root of more Banes?
Tartarus?
Dahlia, isn't it? Is that what we can
Dahlia? No.
They're not living. They don't care.
Mm-hmm. But she's a square root.
The no orders, is the no orders not living, or is it just the not attacking or living?
The whole thing is living. It only affects living things.
Okay.
Yeah. Never mind.
Square root is, I don't
know. It would be just Banes.
Banes.
I mean, that's math.
Yeah.
That's math, people. Look
just
it up.
Just Banes, singular.
So just Bane.
It might be just Tartarus. Like no units, just Tartarus.
No, it's just Bane. It's a Batman villain.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Which one, though? The one from Batman and Robin?
Yeah, the one from Batman and Robin when it was running around yelling bomb.
Bomb!
You spin a wheel and you don't know which one you get until it happens.
Bust a deal, face the wheel. Zappity.
Grumbo.
Cliff Hughes asks us, what do you use for your recording set?
Cameras. Mics.
You're going to tweet
a
picture.
Fast photographs.
What am I looking at? I see an Alesis Multimix 8. At least that's what the back of it says. This microphone stand. Well, one of them says jam stand.
Jam!
Mine says stage rocker. The microphone is
a ultra voice.
Behringer? Mine, Behringer on mine. Yours is an ultra voice. Mine's a Behringer. Behringer.
This is riveting information, and I'm in the middle of it.
All jam stands.
What's yours? 8500.
You got an ultra voice.
And some. Let me pull these cables. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Andy has a laptop and a table.
Ooh.
I'm wearing socks.
It's actually not that.
I'm not.
It's
I'm sitting on a crate.
About, yeah. Lewis, as long as you have a Lewis, he gets a crate.
And he has a really fancy new mixer that he bought like 8 months ago that we'll use one of these days.
8 months ago. It was like almost over a year ago.
We'll use it one of these days.
I know the day he got it, he showed it off. We can use this thing.
I was so excited about it until I hooked it up and I started getting a ton of feedback in it. I'm like, I don't have time for this shit.
Right, because you already have the settings on this one.
Yep, this one has all the settings on it. So I use Alesis, four-port mixer that's plugged into my laptop that I'm running Audacity on to record. I've got six different microphone setups with some spit guards. It's pretty simple. It's not too difficult. You just want to make sure it sounds good. And you got to have people who actually have good mic control.
That is very critically important to the process.
You were asking for that.
Oh. Yeah, I completely was.
Obviously, the ones who podcast the most knew exactly what to do there. Like we know what to do now.
Yeah. What is the best way to annoy Andy?
I think it has something to do with my mic control and pounding on the table.
Oh my god!
Oh, okay, if we only had some food to eat right now. Right.
Oh my god! Knock it off, Zavity.
We moved on now. Next,
I'm just saying, if they didn't want me to play with this doodangle on the mic stand, why is it there?
It's way too
fucking around. Is Messi better than Maradona?
I don't know. I don't watch soccer.
I don't know.
That's a soccer thing.
Yeah,
point Messi. Is Deutschland, über alles.
By the way, when I saw CNN earlier today, CNN was like World Cup in extra overtime. Like, man, their score must be amazing. 0-0 overtime. Woohoo! Yeah. There's a rough game.
It was
there was comments on Facebook saying this is the best game I've ever seen and it scored 0-0.
Hey, like, it was a good game. It was a very good game.
Because something almost happened once.
Germany played well. They controlled the ball incredibly well, and just a few sloppy slip-ups for Argentina, almost getting...
So 2 hours later, they got one score, and it was amazing.
Who scored?
Germany did.
They won. Okay, so your big story was that Argentina almost scored once.
No. I hate you guys.
Like, the fuck?
It was
like, there must be no
game.
More excited person on the planet than a soccer score... The guy who runs the scoreboard when someone finally fucking scores. I get to do something! Whee! And he pushes the one button and a one pops up on the screen.
My job matters.
Lewis, if we'd known that you liked soccer, we would have not allowed you on the podcast.
The
crate.
This is the only game I actually got to watch. I don't have TV, and someone invited me over.
It's the worst field sport.
Oh my god, so you went to somebody else who likes soccer?
I did.
Is that like
they gave me food?
These free food is terrible. People meet in groups, you know. Like,
look around this room; there is proof of that.
I was thinking more like a clan rally, but okay.
Look around this room.
Like, why would you soccer when there's like lacrosse and hurling? Hurling's amazing.
Look, I played soccer since I was a kid.
Right?
I loved the game.
Yeah, it's great when stuff almost happens.
Hey, as a kid, a lot more things happen than in the professional.
That's probably just suck.
As a kid, it's good exercise. As a kid, I'm not gonna. No. It's for kids to run around. It's simple fun. I can't. Any kid doing an activity.
Well, that's why you never really watch like the big leagues in a lot of those sports. You take it a grade down when they're not so talented that nothing ever slips by. Yeah. You want to see the mistakes that people capitalize on.
Yeah.
You want to see the amazing plays that are less impressive pro league.
I want to see small children collide.
Have rugby.
War machine.
That's why I don't play in the tournaments. It's like it's much more impressive when you don't go there and fail.
Dave, sorry about all the mess, but we want some chocolate. Bring some chocolate.
All right.
That was Dave Monroe from Sweden.
Oh yeah, send me some shit.
No, chocolate. Some chocolate.
Yeah, no, Dave provided me with chocolate. I don't know, 2-3 years ago, and it was amazing.
We ate it all.
I didn't get any of it.
No, it was
Andy
all mine.
Hoarded it.
I'm
it
going to Stockholm in a little while, just for a weekend.
Yeah, bring us some chocolate.
Yeah. And some Swiss girls
for a weekend.
Yeah, bring some of those.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait.
Swiss girls in
wait,
Stockholm?
Wait, is he in...
Yeah.
No.
There's Swiss girls in Sweden. Those Europeans go all over the place.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's a nightmare to import those to the States.
Because the thing is, since they're there as tourists also, they're like, you know, we don't know the area. Can you help us?
Well, that worked
also
for me. When
I took
a train from Stockholm to Prague.
Yeah.
And
there's Swiss girls?
Swedish girls.
Those are Swedish? Oh, that's not as good.
No, hey, I beg to differ.
Oh, have you had Swiss?
I have had Swiss.
Yes, he's better than Swedish.
No, but I only had one Swiss and two Swedish.
Well, so that's the thing, is like if a Swedish is worth 2/3 of a Swiss, that's why you thought the Swedish was better. The one Swiss was almost as good as two Swedish. That says something.
Because I hate Lewis.
All I can think is the only reason I like Swiss more is there's more holes in it.
I just
at least you get to use more holes. Lewis is falling off the crate. He knows what's happening. He's like, yep, been there. Fill that one. That one got stuck.
Oh, dear.
Zappity?
Grumbo.
I did a special here.
All right, which War Machine Horde's faction fluff bores you the most?
Signar, like, it's Signar. Like, oh, look, we're Signar.
Menoth bothers me. It's always some, like, oh, I don't like that because religion. I don't like that.
But I can religion. I can forgive a lot of Menoth fluff just because the whole Garrick Voile thing was really cool.
Oh, yeah. That's
like, at least
like,
it had that. Like Signar's just like, eh, we sure are steampunk and American European hybrid analogy, and
well,
we're going to do nothing.
All, we got. I have to protect the trees.
Yeah, no, but
I
got
to protect the
side
trees
tool,
by destroying the world.
Yeah, I know.
We like the trees, fuck you cities. You
the
know?
Devourer worm is cool. So they got that. Crix might be a bunch of mustache twirling idiots, but Torok's cool, so you got that. I mean, I forgive Menoth because Garrick Voile was there. You got blue Scottish Native Americans and the Troll Woods, so they got their thing going on, especially with Troll Hitler doing his thing and
I love Troll
murdering Hitler. Trains of hospital patients.
Yeah.
Scorn.
Amazing jailbreaks, literal.
The Scorn are basically just the evil Klingons of the...
Yeah.
Evil, yeah. Abusive, torturing Klingons. So Scorn is almost like the Cardassians.
Because they're like Klingons?
Kardashians.
The Kardashians, yes. Scorn is like the Kardashians.
Yes, exactly.
In that they're terrible monsters.
They have fake tans.
God, I want to see somebody edit Deep Space Nine to have Kardashians instead of Cardassians. That would be great. I just want to see the Sasquatch one yelling at Picard about there being four lights.
Oh my God. You mean Chloe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do I know anything about the Kardashians?
The society's awful, and it's hard not to.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, no matter how much I try to voice, being all of us like movies, and it's always nice to like see an actor do his stuff, and like, I don't want to know a lot of things about their lives. I don't care, but I still know too many things about too many actors, because when you watch any kind of news, it just shoves this information about their personal lives at
I
me.
Avoid all of that, but there's two or three mean-spirited gossip websites that I go to fairly often, like the Superficial and What Would Tyler Durden Do. They're so mean, but it's great. And one of my favorite things recently was they were talking about Kim Kardashian is getting curvier, and that just means she's getting fatter, but she has good girdles. And so they said whoever designs her girdles is a structural genius, and they need to get them to design the levees for New Orleans.
Nice. All my knowledge of the Kardashians has been brought upon by Craig Ferguson.
Oh, well. Sure, yeah.
So that's all my knowledge is from Craig.
Is Bruce Jenner a woman yet?
Zappity Grumble.
That's a serious question.
We've
I think that was Zappity Grumble.
Okay.
We're almost done. Mechanithral spam with P-Scar, good idea or terrible idea?
Works fine.
It works fine. I mean, she makes him hit and makes him hit hard. Yep. Those are good things.
And this is from Brady Coley, and he says that he's got a T-shirt designed just for Jeremy. Jeremy might not like it, but the rest of the podcast will.
He has created one of our logos already, so he's created one of our Zappity Grumble
shirts. He's done the, I believe...
The color one, I think? Or the other one? He's done one of the two. I always forget which one he's done.
Yeah.
They're both
amazing, so whichever one he did is great.
Yeah, exactly. But I do try. I apologize. I forget what
Jeremy's a good enough sport that he would wear it.
Yeah.
We do have a list for that guy for a bunch of shirt designs. He needs to get on that so we can start getting some shirts up there.
I really like the Shifting Stones shirt idea.
Yeah. But we sent him a list of like, he literally has like a list of like seven ideas that he needs to get on. Stop doing things you like and make our shirts.
Yeah, you're not allowed to have a hobby or job.
We need to The one T-shirt that Chris made up, the whole giant 10 things I learned about Crippled System.
Yeah.
The one about the I'm a something-something looker.
Yeah.
That needs to be changed to just pooper potato. That's...
Well, you don't learn pooper potato. Not until the end of the game.
Well...
Then they reveal, and you find out.
That's the fun part.
But you have to finish the whole bowl.
Is that me?
Grumble.
How many times or for how long should a painter be able to enter the same miniature in a competition?
Ooh.
I usually go with until it wins.
First or any position? Like a bronze medal means you have to retire it, or do you get to keep going for
gold?
It
depends where you go. I think if you go to Gen Con and you enter a model in there and you get like a silver or bronze, if you enter it the next year, if you have the same judges, they're going to recognize that. I think you're hurting your odds.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you travel the country and you go, but I mean, if you travel around, I think you should, every time, at least for the first time you go somewhere new, why not enter it?
I guess, I don't know.
I mean, if you re-enter the same, I don't know. I think if you have the same judges year after year and they see the same model,
you're going to... So you think it's a self-fixing problem? Like, you could enter it infinite times, but eventually they're going to not let it win because they're sick of it?
Yeah.
If I'm picking a model for a paint award event I run, and I see a model I've already picked, I'm probably going to pick something else.
Yeah. No, I...
It's just that simple. It's like, hey, you know, that was a great model a year ago. You know, I'm assuming that since the last year, you've probably painted some more. You've probably learned some new techniques. Let's see what you learned. But, yeah, so that's why I say as soon as, like, if I put something in, even if it's just a local event and it wins, it's like, great, cool, that was awesome. Now I'm going to try and beat it with my next model.
Yeah, I don't think, I guess if you're, like, going for, like, a tour of the Masters, you know, like, going for, you know, Adepticons painting competition, Gen Cons, you know, some of the other big conventions out there, I guess maybe entering the same piece, but at the same time, you're going to get a lot of publication if you win the first one that, you know, it may not make it in some of the other ones.
Especially the big cons, they have some of the same judges, and they're, I think they'll do the same thing.
All right, Zabity.
Gumbo.
Gumbo?
Yep.
Okay.
I wasn't sure you'd notice I said gumbo.
I can totally go for some gumbo.
That would actually
That's some
good.
Zippity gumbo.
I too late for the last Zippity gumbo, so asking again, you guys are cool. Are any of you going to Gen Con? Because I'd love to have a pint with you people.
Where's that? Who is that from?
That's from Paulo Miguel.
Hey. Oui? Hey, Paulo.
At least two
people in this room are going to Gen Con.
Yeah, I'm going to Gen Con. I think Nathan is, maybe.
Menoth John was going to be driving, the one with the Twitch channel, was going to be driving down Saturday, and he said that he was doing a one-day trip, when if I wanted to ride with him, I could, so I very well might.
You should really try to go. Gen Con is...
I will really try to go.
At least just come hang out at the game hall for a little bit, and maybe just check out the game hall, or not the game hall, but the shopper hall.
Yeah, even last year, when I didn't play War Machine, I would get up. I would go do things. I would stop by the game hall, like, you know, once every like 5 hours, say hi to random War Machine players and go do other shenanigans. And, you know, that was like the meet. We'd always meet by the War Machine table, just, you know, to organize everything.
We'll have fun. I'll be there. I'll drink. I know Brian doesn't drink, but you can get him a pint of
the Shays will
water.
Be there. You'll be there. I'll be there.
PG party's on Saturday, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm very excited. I got my hotel. I was on the waiting. I got on the waiting list for a good hotel, and I got bumped up to a downtown hotel this week. I was very excited about that.
Sweet.
So I'm in a connected hotel now. I mean, it's going to be twice as expensive, but it's going to be so much better.
Oh, great.
We'll be pretty
easy glad to crash, you know.
We already have crashers. I'm not a big fan of people share our space, but last year people let us share in their space. So I'm like, I'm going to say yes to them, because I'd be the world's biggest dick if I told them no this year.
I can't remember if I need a room or not.
Well,
in general, you need a room.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a general concept.
Well, I can just sleep at the PG table. I can just sleep there.
You want a room in some place, a shower, and sleep.
If it's good enough for Michael Plummer to sleep at the PG table, it's good enough for me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I try to base all my lifestyle decisions off of Michael Plummer.
It's a good way to go.
That's why we both wear the same toe shoes.
I got toe shoes.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I got those because of Michael Plummer.
Did you get in on the class action lawsuit? You get some of your money back?
Which is awesome, by the way. It's win-win because they're super comfortable. Like, that's
they're just
true.
Terrible for you.
They're not terrible.
They're not super good.
It's not that they're terrible. It's that they aren't actively healthful. And so since they're like, these are good for your feet, and then it turns out that they're no better or worse than normal shoes, technically they lied, so I get $50.
I'm pretty sure down the road, they're like, yep, actually, they were worse. We're not quite getting there yet.
That's fine. I'll have died of something by then.
Yeah.
Like,
Your toes will all have fallen off.
Sure. Like, I'm going to get cancer from, like, something.
I will say they're not Crocs, so you're still a step up from Crocs.
Crocs are the good old wiffle shoes.
Zavity.
Grumble?
Anybody read Codex Alera?
Yes.
Thoughts?
Oh, there's I know Jeremy's read him as well, but it's Jim Butch, the guy who wrote Dresden Files, wrote these series. Have you read them?
Yeah, I've read all the series, but I haven't read Alera.
Oh.
But I on one of the like web things where you can talk to the author and people were asking questions, did he say something about there like a crossover?
There's no crossover between the two worlds. But the cool thing about the Alera books is there's six books, they're done, it's a complete series. So something like you get into Dresden.
Like the outer the outsiders, the out. You know,
yeah, no, it's different.
I thought I saw him make a comment about.
Yeah. There's really no
the same world as the Alera people.
The Alera world's too different and weird. But yeah, no, it's a great series. And I mean, if you like Dresden, like man, it's a great series. But it's there's 15 books, and there's going to be another 6 to 8 books. And it's sometimes it's nice to go, I pick up a book series that's start to finish and get it going. And it's written well because it's a good author.
Okay, and so, it's based on a dare.
It's based on a dare, which is pretty great.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Somebody just dared him to write a new
book series? We talked about, don't you listen to all our podcasts? We brought this up before.
He had to write a book that was based on the Roman Legion that vanished in the mountains and
Pokemon.
And so the books are based on those two things.
Oh. All right, then.
Zebedee.
Yeah, well. You said, what, why?
I just realized that there's a ton of these still left.
So go,
we should hurry.
So climb a theme forest with elemental lights, competitive or fun night only, up to 11 or 12 free points, and soothing song that make many beasts seem good.
It's a decent ranged game.
Yeah, I think it's going to struggle against anything that needs armor cracking.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's going to be
match dependent.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, Zabity.
Gumball.
What would you have Mr. Meeseeks do for you?
Improve my golf game by 2 strokes.
Zappity.
Anyone who's seen the episode, that's hilarious.
Episode of what?
It's a Rick and Morty thing.
Oh, okay. All right. Is that wrong? Nathan, are you planning on using Centurion as one of your two lists for War Machine Weekend qualifiers if you take Convergence, or was it more of a one-time thing?
It functioned. That list worked really, really well. I might actually bring that this weekend because I was surprised how well.
Can't be Doomy Rizzo.
It sure can. Fuck
it,
you.
It can't. No.
I don't know.
We've heard that
do it.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I will annihilate him 8 games out of 10 from now on with that Centurion list. I guarantee it.
Money on that bet, people. I think you will. I just said that to be a dick.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. We know.
But don't net deck against me, whoever asked that.
That was from Jordan Bouchois.
Zebedee.
Grumball.
With the previews from Exigence, are you more or less excited to see the book?
More.
I'm excited. I'm hoping I don't see everything before it's out.
But yeah, same here.
I'm excited to see it. There's a lot of cool things.
Want the book? Want my minions?
I want to know what Maximus does.
Oh, the pig!
I just hope he has some kind of veteran leader for Slaughterhousers. I hope he does something for them instead of just being another Gudrun.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Another Gudrun.
This.
Zavity.
Grumble. Firefly, great show or overhyped show?
Great show.
Great.
Both, I guess. Like amazing, but I mean, not the second coming of Christ.
It wasn't on long enough. It wasn't on long enough to reach that status.
Season two and three
would
have been really good.
How do you say it's overhyped for a canceled show? You know, I mean, it's hyped enough that it came back.
It wasn't hyped enough.
Well, I mean, it was hyped enough after the fact that it died. You know, that people actually started watching it who didn't watch it before. You know?
Yeah, the word of mouth on it really helped out a lot. But
it does receive substantial amount of praise, probably more than
Yes, it's super good. But it does not raise the dead and cure polio. Like it's a good show, but calm down a notch is all I'm saying.
I can't.
My grandmother came back from the dead to watch that show.
Yeah, but it was a Monkey Paw style thing where she was like evil and still rotted. Like that's all I'm saying.
It still counts.
Zappity.
Rumble.
I can't wait for that. Rumble. I can't wait for that to happen to Almost Human.
Yes.
That show was amazing.
I missed that show.
That show was so good too.
Zappity.
Grumble. Expansions of the Firefly game. Have you played them? If so, thoughts?
Really fun. I mean, it's an adventure game, so the more expansions, the more random events, and also it adds player versus player elements, and it's really fun to just destroy Nate Newby.
Poor defenseless Nate Newby was limping around. You like, I found some cargo, and Brian would go yoink
for 2.5 hours. It was amazing.
Every
come on.
Have you ever tried Rivet Wars? If so, what do you think?
Andy has it.
I own it.
I've heard good things, but it's hard. It's like other miniature games. It's basically a 2v2 game with miniatures, and it's like I already play.
Yeah,
20 games of, you know, whatever with that style.
But I think it's hard with our group to get 2v2 games going, or player versus player games.
Yeah,
1v1. There's so many.
I've heard nothing but good things, but we just have so many games to play.
Yeah. Somebody?
Crumble.
Who on the show wears jean shorts in the summer?
I currently am.
I was going to say when I was like 12.
What the hell?
Just Nathan.
Oh, okay, because your khaki shorts and Hawaiian shirt is so much more mature of an outfit.
It is. It's the next level up.
I do, but only when I'm working in the barn.
That's code.
I have jean shorts as well.
Maybe.
I'm actually wearing jean shorts right now. You can't see them because I'm a never nude.
Well, I mean, I guess that is.
There are dozens of us.
Dozens. Sappity.
I'm only a part-time never nude.
Rumble.
What is the worst thing you have ever smelled?
Nathan.
One time when I was like 8, I had a glass of milk to fall asleep, and I put it on the bed, like the corner post of the bunk bed, and then we went on like vacation for like we went up to my grandparents for like the weekend or whatever, and then I came home, and by then like it had separated into like just water on the bottom half and like basically solid stuff on the top. And so it was fine, and then I got it, so you couldn't smell it or anything, but then I got into bed, and it spilled. And that was a fresh hell.
Actually,
on me! Hell yes! Oh, that was terrible.
I take that back. I remember a very horrible, horrible night while working at a Walmart with Brian, who decided that during his lunch break that all he would eat is Slim Jims and chocolate pudding.
Sounds like a good lunch.
It hurt.
Apparently not just you.
No, it was,
I like the smell. I was like in the bathroom the entire night. Can't move.
The smell of cowfoot soup.
I found a taco under the seat of a car that had been there for like 2 weeks once.
Ooh.
It had just like fallen out of the bag and just flopped under the seat.
I think our first answer is still one.
Yeah,
well, just, you can close your eyes and you can smell that. Oh,
I meant, no, my first answer was Nathan.
Oh, that answer. You can close your eyes and just smell that.
It's like it's here.
It's my manly musk. It attracts the ladies, not human ladies, but ladies in general. Just gibbons love me.
Dung beetles.
You know. All right, two more, right. Quickly. Zebedee,
Grumble.
Can we please kick Epic Kruger out of the War Machine hordes? I dislike him. Sorry, Katie.
Nah, no. In 8 days, you can do that.
No, Epic Kruger's fine. It's just that
I agree.
He's top tier, but he's not quite broken. But Stormwall is fucking annoying.
Yeah, it is pretty.
Being able to play against Durgan Earthbreaker and not fear dying is such a glorious feeling.
Hey,
it's so glorious.
I killed a Kruger.
Well, sure. I mean, Crix can kill P. Haley. I mean, it just takes a bad player.
Does Stormwall, is Stormwall just if you're in his control, your range is reduced by 5? Or is it like correct. If you're in his control and targeting him?
Nope.
Or somebody?
Just range is reduced by 5.
Just flat out. It doesn't involve, like, if you're targeting something, it's just a constant debuff. So non-targeted things like Ground Pounder don't get around it.
If range attacks are -5.
Yeah. Okay.
If Ground Pounder is, I think it's just a special action.
Ground Pounder is
placed. Get away.
Ground Pounder is place a ring within your range and then make an attack against everybody.
Oh.
I would have to check the wording on Windfall.
But it says it's within the range of the weapon.
But the thing is, if his thing is like, if you're making an attack, but it is a star attack, or is it a star action?
I'd have to look at
the wording on both, but I'm just curious now if that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Zebedee.
Grumble.
After being sick all weekend, I have been calling snot face gravy. Good idea or great idea?
You should use a Kleenex. That's for Ramsey. Then it won't get on your face.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Tangent, great band from the 90s named Snot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had this awesome song, My Balls.
I thought you were talking about Face Gravy. It was a great band from the 90s.
Not familiar with that.
I mean, it could be true. Though.
See, I know Face Gravy is something different. So
Go on.
No.
The Swedish girls?
That's it. We're done. That was like a half hour of Zappity Grumble.
Yeah, we got to... Oh, well. Hey, recommendations.
Oh, crap.
We'll start over here, Lewis. We'll give you some time.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend a Telltale game, Wolf Among Us.
Yay.
Chapter 5 finally came out. I haven't played any of it, and it was on sale and Steam for half off in the summer sale. I bought it, and there was 4 chapters out, so I waited 2 weeks. Chapter 5 came out, so I just sat down in a day and played the whole game through. It's one of those storytelling games. It's pretty slick. If you play the Walking Dead games, the one big difference is in Walking Dead, you play through it. There's two big things in Walking Dead. You play through it, interact with people, and at one point, you have an option. Be a jerk to guy A or be a jerk to guy B. And then later on in the game, you have do I save Bob or do I save Mary? And it's a fun game, and it's neat, but that's basically the choosing element.
Yeah, because the splits kind of then reform themselves, you know what I mean? Like, the game has an end destination, and you have, like, for an episode or two, it'll be different because whether Bob or Mary lived or died, but eventually it rejoins.
And it's fun. I mean, I love the Walking Dead games. Yeah. But Telltale game, it's because you're kind of playing, like, a sheriff character. You're trying to get clues, so it's like, a crime has happened. You go to this place first or this other place first, but based on where you go, someone else is going to go to the other place and screw up the evidence. So as you play the game, complete decision points and like elements are completely different based on that. Like I want to play second, someone's burned all the evidence, so now I just don't get that evidence ever because it was destroyed. But I had evidence in other places, I went there first, and it's got and it has the same kind of dialogue: be a jerk to this guy, be nice to this guy. And one of the times it's like whenever you talk to someone, a funny thing is it's like so and so will remember this statement, because that's always a big thing is how you treat someone will be remembered and how they interact with you later. But one time you're talking to a drunk guy, he's like, Bob will not remember this. Which I thought was funny. After playing like 10 chapters of their games, it's the first time they were clever enough to like say, you know, someone will not remember what you just did.
I did see an animated GIF of him like talking to somebody at a bar, and one of the options, like the guy's talking, you have your options of what to say, and one of the options was just to bust a bottle over his face.
Yeah.
And the guy reacted to that, and he just cracked a bottle over the guy's face. Yeah. That's my new favorite dialogue option.
Yeah. And the game, it's a fairy tale base, because you're basically playing it's almost a lot. You're all playing fairy tales with Escape Fairy Tale Land. You're all like living in New York, and it's all kind of
like fables.
It's kind of like fables. It's based off that comic.
Yeah, he had a Bigby feel to it.
Yeah, so it's neat. It's a pretty sweet game, and I mean, it's on sale. And I mean, for $10-$15, it's 5 chapters. Each chapter takes like an hour and a half.
Wait, so like, is it literally officially based on the Fables comics?
Yes, it's officially.
Oh, I thought it was just like inspired by similar feel.
I'm pretty sure it's literally based on it.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, because when you play, it's like when you finish it, now if you enjoy this, go buy all these Fable comics.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's pretty slick. It's a really fun game. That's my recommendation.
I could recommend the Fable comics. They're good. No, I'm going to do a rewind. I'm going to re-recommend something, because I recommended it when it was in theaters, and I'm going to recommend it now just because I still think it's
RoboCop?
Good. Yeah.
RoboCop.
Star Trek Into Darkness?
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Neither.
Iron Man 3.
Transformer 3?
I still have never seen Iron Man 3. Point of pride. Not Iron Man 3. I'm sorry. Transformers 3. Transformers 3. Never seen it. It can go fuck itself. I haven't seen Transformers 4 either.
We need to
pay train Transformers 4 for a dollar, because I can see movies for a dollar because of my stepson.
No.
Yes, I can.
No.
Well, yes, I can.
You go pay for another movie and go watch Transformers 4.
That I could also do.
That'd
yes.
be much better.
Anyway.
I think a movie that was... I super enjoyed. I think it's a solid, solid, solid movie, and it bombed like nobody's fucking business.
B+?
No. Solid A-. No, a really good movie that I unironically enjoyed start to finish, and was super good, and it just bombed terribly. I really like John Carter. Oh. I still really like John Carter, and I think people still haven't seen John Carter.
Where he goes to Mars?
Yes!
Yeah, that was a pretty
The movie was
play.
Really good. I really liked it. It had a good mix of humor and action, and I liked the characters, and it's just a solid movie that lost a bajillion dollars and ruined people's careers. You probably haven't seen it, and you should, because it was really good.
I might watch it again.
Yeah, watch it again. It was good. I was just thinking about while we were watching Incredible Hulk, because the Abomination would swing around the chain with the rocks on it. I just thought about him fighting the white apes.
That was awesome.
It was a good scene.
I when I watched John Carter, I remember thinking to myself, I thought I wasn't supposed to enjoy this, and this is pretty good. Like, It was so
lambasted. It just bombed, and then like yeah. I saw enjoyable. It in the cheap theater, like as a let's go see something shitty kind of thing, like a pre-paint show, like whatever. It's the cheap theater, why not? And I watched, and I'm like, I really like this. What the hell?
I will say it's not the same type of reaction that you had towards John Carter, but when I watched The Lone Ranger, I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah,
it was not as bad as what everyone panned it as being. Yeah. It was. Still bad, but right. It was definitely not as bad.
But John Carter was panned as bad, and is it legitimately enjoyable?
Yeah, but John Carter was really good.
It deserved to be profitable.
Yeah, really liked how that movie, the whole timeline for how that movie progressed. It was mm-hmm. very good. I was trying to say that as not as spoilerific as I could have been.
All right, Rick.
All right, so my recommendation is for something to do other than War Machine Weekend. Because I am putting on events at Game Hole Con here in Madison, and I am going to pimp the hell out of it. It's Game Hole Con. It's here in Madison, Wisconsin. It's they got like a bunch of big names. Ed
Greenwood.
Ed Greenwood. I was about to say Ed Wood, and I'm like, it's not Ed Wood. Ed Greenwood.
That would be amazing if you can get Ed Wood there.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with AD&D, Dungeons & Dragons, all that good stuff.
I have ADHD.
Elminster from enough. The Forgotten Realms. Basically, like, the creator of Envision there is going to be at Game Hole Con. Tons of games going on, tons of vendors. We're going to be doing a 50-point steamroller, at the end of which we will be giving away at least one 25-point army. So it's going to be very exciting.
Nice.
Hoping to pull all the people who are unwilling to drive to the southern-ass end of Illinois for War Machine Weekend.
It is a really well-done convention. They're in their second year, and just the advertising that they do for it, it just looks professional.
Yep.
The person who runs it, his goal is to turn this into eventually get this to be, like, and people will just travel to it across the valley. People will say, oh, Gamble Con's going, I need to go to Wisconsin this weekend. He wants to be a big deal.
Like Gen Con again. Yeah. It's basically what it sounds like he wants.
So then in a decade, it's going to move to another state?
Yes.
Like Gen Con did?
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, working with him as an event organizer trying to get in at a con, I mean, the guy running it, Alex,
I've emailed him. He needs to respond to me. I know he doesn't listen to this, but pretend you listen to this, Alex. Email me back. I have a very important question for him. I'll talk to you off air about it.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, I mean, he like friended me on Facebook, and he's talking about sign up rates. And
I'm going to friend everyone named Alex. It's your friend. I'm going to send a friend request to you so I can get his attention. He needs to respond to me next week.
But yeah, I've been really impressed with their setup so far. So I'm hoping it's going to be an awesome weekend, and hope to see a bunch of people out there.
Yep.
Cool.
All right. Lewis. Geez,
man. I don't get enough time to go out and play or do much, I will recommend. I love the cheap theaters here in Madison. $1.75
or $2 movies.
Yeah. $2. For the summer, I have Fridays off, so I've been taking my girl to basically it's a father daughter thing. Every Friday, we go see $2 movie. And like we saw, we didn't
Cabin
see
Cabin in the Woods.
She wanted to see the Spider-Man 2 film. I wasn't so excited, but she wanted to see it.
It's $2
exactly
for a kid.
It was worth the $2, and we'll catch up. And but I love the fact that they have that and in town. I hate the idea of spending full price on some of these tickets.
Well, it's behind our games for Pegasus games. I know one night people were there, like someone mentioned they didn't see Pacific Rim, and it was playing behind the streets. Like three people left to take them to go see Pacific Rim.
And it's fantastic. I mean, it's they have snacks just like all the other theaters if you want to spend the money there. But
I agree with you wholeheartedly because I love the experience of seeing movies in the theater, and I'm always sad if there's a movie that it turns out I like, if I don't find out about it until like DVDs or something, or see it on TV or something, I feel like I missed out on not seeing it on the big screen. For me, that's a huge deal, and I know some people, like Travis and I, don't see eye to eye about this because he doesn't see the point. He's like, I can just watch it at home, why would I bother?
Travis is a robot, so
that is true. He doesn't like emotions and whatever, but I mean it's different, and it's an experience, and I know I've talked about this before on the podcast, but like it's a limited time thing you have. Like I can never see X-Men First Class in the theater again, barring a special event, obviously, like Ghostbusters coming back and whatnot. But while you can do it, you can do it, and it's painful to have to pay like 10, 12, 15 bucks to do so. So those cheap theaters are amazing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you just, I mean, you wait an extra 2 months after the thing, you know. I mean, granted, Guardians of the Galaxy, I already bought our tickets.
Sure.
But
special for, events.
For other movies, I'll wait a month and a half.
Well, if it, like for you, it's like, well, it's like just, especially people who have families. I have a friend who only sees a movie a couple times a year, but when he goes, it's him, his wife, you know, two or three kids. Suddenly, it's this insane expense. And if he's going to the paying $8 a ticket, suddenly that magnifies pretty crazy, where the cheap theater, it doesn't get that bad, even if you add four people.
And right. Even if you don't have a cheap theater locally, a lot of the theater chains now are doing stuff where you can see cheap movies somehow. Right. Like Marcus has $5 Tuesdays, which is great. Every movie's $5 on Tuesdays. AMC has $5. I think they're doing it on like Thursdays. $7 Thursdays. Or there's
it's,
a 7.
It's cheaper. It's still cheaper,
but it's not cheap. And I know, I think both chains have, Marcus for sure has it, but I think both chains have where like each month, there's like a certain kids movie that they show.
They've
like,
been doing a summer
they show it during the
movies.
Day for like $2 or something ridiculously cheap, and then it's all like people with kids. So then you also don't have to worry about
and one creepy guy in the corner.
Yeah, one creepy guy in the corner.
Hey everybody, I'm just here to chaperone. I don't have pants. Can I borrow yours?
Wait, that was
I don't
you.
Think they fit.
Shh, wrong number.
Shut up, Jeff's father.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cheap theaters, utilizing local cheap theaters, you know. Get the experience and not bankrupt yourself.
Yep.
That's up to me. All right. Yeah. For anybody who's got a PS4 or a nice computer, I'd actually recommend trying out a game called Warframe. It's a free-to-play game.
Been recommended twice before, and you can never recommend it enough. Keep going. Really? Oh, yeah, keep going. I'm not telling you to stop. I'm agreeing wholeheartedly.
Oh, okay. I've been having a blast playing with it. You really don't have to put much money into the game if you pay attention to what you're doing or want to spend that little bit of extra time. The money really is just more for if you want more of the game or you want it quicker. So I've been having a blast doing it. You don't have to play with people online to get most out of it, and you can, if you've got buddies who are playing, you can obviously team up and go at it that way. So
co-op cyborg ninjas.
Yes.
Like, that's three good words for a game to have.
Yeah, and I like how there's different suits. Each suit has its own feel and flavor to it. So it's the comparison I've heard is it's more like a fun, enjoyable version of Guyver, where everyone's got their own different Guyver suit and you get all your goofy Guyver powers.
Guyver was amazing and Mark Hamill is a saint.
Oh, you just invalidated everything, didn't you? But yeah, I've had a lot of fun with that title. So if you got a PS4 or a nice PC, I recommend going and give it a shot. I mean, can't hurt.
Because the base game is still free to play, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely free to play.
Yeah, it's absolutely free to play. They have the DLC microtransactions if you want to. You know, they're like, hey, for $1 you can get nuclear warheads in your nipples. Yeah. And you're like, well, I guess for $1.
They give you a small starting like stipend of the money equivalency. So some of the things that you think you couldn't play the game without.
First
like,
taste is free, kids.
Yeah, it basically is. And honestly, the way I look at it is if you don't spend a lot of money into the game, you put maybe $10 into it, you're still not paying a lot for a game. Like, I've played it for maybe, maybe 20, 24 gameplay hours at least, and I've paid $8, and that's worth it.
Right, yeah, at some point, if you're going to play a game for 10, 20 hours, $5 isn't bad. Because a lot of games you can spend $50, $60 on and beat them in 20 hours.
Well, you buy a God of War game brand new, you spend $60, and 12 hours later it's beaten and you've got an empty feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and even if a game like that you can get a lot of time into that doesn't suffer from that, like how much did Borderlands plus all the DLC cost?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if like the four of us were like, hey, we should have another 4-player co-op game, you don't have to spend $100. You can spend zero to whatever you feel like spending on Warframe.
Yeah, but even then, though, the amount of content that Borderlands provides for all everything there.
It was money well spent.
It was money well spent. But my point is,
in comparison, we each of us probably spent at least $100 on that title.
Yeah. Right. And that's I'm saying, like, it was worth $100, but I don't agree with paying $1 to finish a level on Candy Crush. I've been vocal about that. But something like Warframe, if you're enjoying the game and if you want to spend 10, 20, even if you go crazy and spend $50 on shit in the game, you've spent $50 on a computer game, which, surprise, that's how much it costs to buy a computer game.
Yeah, so exactly.
You can't overly hate microtransactions if you do them right. It's when you get addicted and spend $10,000 on Train Simulator, unlocking every single train. Like, that's a fun thing to look on Steam. There's, like, a train simulation game where, like, all the DLC, it adds up to, like, $50,000 because it's literally every single model of train car in the world.
that's a little excessive. My train fetish stops at free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, trains. Sorry.
Check out the coal engine on that one. Yeah.
Oh, baby.
I bet that's inefficient and polluting. Hot.
Coal rolling.
Coal rollers. Yeah, that's it. Warframe, right, give it to
me. All right, my quick recommendation is to watch all of the C-Lab 2021 episodes.
I randomly watched the Bizarro episode yesterday.
Yes, so good. I think I've recommended it before, but
Bizarro,
man,
I love you. I'm helping.
I'm helping. I gave Turtle Face a peanut.
That episode is so great because that episode, it goes with the joke that you're talking about. That episode starts funny, and then it gets so goddamned annoying when he just jumps around going, Bizarro, Bizarro, Bizarro. I'm like, oh my god, shut up. This is not funny. I'm gonna, and then it's funny again. It's magic.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, all the episodes, including, you know, you have people who say that Harry Godz was the god with doing Howling Hank Murphy, but his son does a great job as Tornado Shanks. Probably some of my favorite episodes ever involved Tornado Shanks.
So, Andy, you say all episodes. Are you including Sharko?
Did you say vagina? Because I could have sworn you said vagina.
Touche. You know, if you're on fire, you can go anywhere.
Yep, exactly.
Chupacabra.
Yeah, gotta watch out for the chupacabra. Yep. Before you leave, Jeff, you have to watch that episode. All right. That's it. That's all. But so somehow we thought we were going to end up with, you know, less than 2 hours. We're actually less than 2 hours, but an hour and 50 minutes in.
Yeah. Well, as long as we don't limit our Zappity Grumbles, it's always going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always going to happen.
Zappity Grumbles will expand to fill space as necessary. Like, yeah. We could literally sit down and go, all right, let's just do Zappity Grumbles. And it would be an hour and a half long episode because we will let that happen.
Yeah, unless we have mic control.
What we could start doing is have them tweet questions at us, and then we'll just eventually maybe pick, like, one or two just randomly during the show. We'll just like, somebody says this.
Yeah, it's as necessary.
Put Zappity Grumbles on time turns.
Once we're a live show, that'll happen naturally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, somebody commented about this, and then we'll comment about that, and then we're done.
You mean now or then?
We're done.
Okay, bye.
Done.
Bye.
Bye. Arr!